from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
A lot of people look at Memorial Day as the unofficial start to summer, and that's great. The actual official start to summer comes a few weeks down the road. And, you know, most of the military veterans or those people who use Memorial Day to honor loved ones that they've lost in service to our country, they don't begrudge people having a good time. I think I've actually heard this more than once. Many of them would say to you, that's what our loved ones would want. That's what we died for, is so Americans have the freedom to live the lives that they choose. And I believe that with all of my heart. I love the fact, as much as it is painful, that Grayson Murray's parents wanted the golf tournament to continue because they believe that's what would honor their son. That's how the story would be told. That's what he would have wanted. And I think, as sad as it is to talk about, it's such an important conversation to have, because mental health, we know, is prevalent in our country, in many places around the world. The conversation has been ignited, and now that flame won't go out. More and more with young people, it's becoming prominent. You got athletes in their 20s and their 30s who are admitting to anxiety, depression, needing to see a counselor, speaking to a psychologist. None of those things are shameful or need to be hidden. And the more that we talk about it, the more people will recognize that it's a very real part of life. We all battle different challenges, some physical health, some mental health. But we go to doctors so that we can have our knees fixed, or we can get our heads examined. And by that, I mean our actual physical brains, right? When something doesn't feel good. Well, doctors for mental health are just as important. And I would say serve a role that at times can be even more critical, because it's so hard to diagnose. You can't tell from the outside a lot of times what people are dealing with, especially if they become masters at hiding it. I appreciate that Grayson Murray's parents want not only their voice to be heard and his story to be told, but they're appealing to the PGA Tour itself in saying that if you could wear these ribbons, if you could wear black and red to honor Grayson, if you could remember him in this way, his contribution, his struggles won't be for nothing. So we're going to hear from a few more fellow golfers. I've seen the tribute, the moment of silence, the helicopters that flew over in Fort Worth. I've seen it multiple times, and the emotion of other golfers who were there as that was happening. Scottie Scheffler is wiping away tears. Remember, Scottie went out there and golfed right after getting arrested at the PGA Championship in Louisville. And then really struggled with playing in the wake of Grayson Murray's suicide on Sunday as that announcement was made. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This is why I tell you that sports is really a reflection of society at large, because they're all just people, and every single problem they have, even if they don't have the money problems that we have, many of them, they still deal with loss and grief and anxiety and pressure. Not to mention the mental health diagnoses that we know some athletes play through. Guys, remember, I mean, we could talk about some of the more recent athletes who've come out and who've acknowledged these demons that they battled, but Shamiqua Holdsclaw, she was one athlete, a college basketball player who was at Tennessee under Pat Summitt and then went on to play in the WNBA and ultimately checked out of basketball for several years because she was battling depression, she was battling anxiety, and there were days where she couldn't even get out of bed. And a lot of times, just dealing with life in its routine form, talking to people, feeding yourself, going to practice, going to work, whatever it is, those things can be overwhelming and can represent such a challenge that it can send you into a tailspin. And sometimes depression and anxiety can have physical ramifications as well. I know several friends of mine who deal with panic attacks from that anxiety. It gets so bad that it affects their breathing and their ability to function in an office. So it manifests itself in different forms. And I know that not everyone's story is the same, but I think in Grayson Murray's situation, because he's high profile, because he was a winner on the PGA Tour, not just that, but because he was engaged and he was sober and he was seemingly thriving at his craft, you wonder how could this happen right now? But it's not only important to highlight it for those people who know someone else out there, even if they are on top of the world as a professional athlete. That's what it looks like from the outside, right? I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek. They may seem like they are. They're on TV. They play sport for a living. They make a bunch of money. But even they can struggle. And I don't remember exactly what it was. Maybe last year, maybe 2 years ago, we had a softball player who was part of a conference championship with her team. She was a catcher. She was very successful. She comes off a weekend in which she has a home run and a bunch of great stats and then takes her own life. You think, how can that happen? Because you don't know what's happening on the inside. And so it's important to have this conversation so other people who are dealing with anxiety, depression, having suicidal thoughts, so they know they're not alone. And I think the more that we shine a light on the challenges and the issues, maybe, just maybe, we recognize warning signs in people around us. Now, you can't always. It's not on the family or the friends. This was Grayson's decision. But no doubt they have guilt over it. No doubt they feel terrible over it. Wondering what we could have done differently, what we should have seen, what we missed. So maybe there are ways that we can identify those signs with people around us. I know I'm constantly asking my nieces how they're doing. What's going on in your life? Is there something you're struggling with? And even coming out of the pandemic, when there were so many young people who would admit to feeling depressed or even having suicidal thoughts, it just blows my mind. A teenager or a person who's in his or her early 20s. But it's important to have those conversations, to ask people how they're doing. And we can do that in our own lives, right? Our own families and friends. It doesn't mean you're always going to catch it or you're going to fix it or you can fix it. But maybe by sharing Grayson's story, I think his family is hopeful that having this conversation could potentially save lives down the road. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It was Lauren Burnett, JMU softball. Yeah, just a tragedy again for people who were around her. They said they had no idea. And with Grayson Murray, as I say, he was on a path that seemed so positive, finally. Grayson himself, when he was on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is like AAA for the PGA, he opened up about his own struggles with mental illness.
My parents have been through, hell and back, basically, for the last 6 years with me, fighting some mental stuff. And it's not easy on me and the people around me that love me. They don't like to see me down. And they've been my number one supporters. And everyone has their battles. And sometimes they're... people are able to hide them and function, and sometimes you're not. And I think our society now is getting better about accepting that, you know, it's okay to not be okay type deal. And I've embraced that type mentality, and not ashamed that I go through depression, anxiety, and I know I've helped people out in the past just through my social media DMs, people messaging me, and and that's, I think, part of I can use my platform to continue to help with things like that.
So that's Grayson himself in his own words. He was finally sober. Again, according to him, going back to January, he was talking about how he had finally beaten the alcoholism and felt like he was in a good place. He was engaged. He's 30 years old. He had won in January. He was playing some great golf. And obviously, these guys on the PGA Tour, they move together from site to site, very often spending more time with fellow golfers than they do with their own families. And so the death of Grayson Murray really impacted guys like Scottie Scheffler and Webb Simpson.
Pretty difficult day to come out to the golf course with the news of Grayson yesterday. And, I spent that moment of silence today really just thinking about him and praying for his family and his fiance. And obviously it was pretty difficult to come play golf, but like his parents said, he would have wanted the tournament to continue. And I got to know him fairly well over the last few months. Shared a couple meals with him, played a couple practice rounds. I was with him for a few hours. He was at our rental house last week. And it's a tough day for all of us out here on tour, and we're thinking about his family, and we're praying hard for them, for sure.
It was a huge shock. My heart sank. I've had a junior tournament for 14 years now, the Webb Simpson Challenge. He was the first ever winner. I remember that day like it was yesterday when he got the trophy. I knew he was going to be a great player from day one. And I just played with him at Charlotte the first 2 days, and we had a great time together, and his game looked good, and I just hate it. I hate it so much. I've gotten to know him even better this year. We shared a meal together at Pebble Beach with his fiance, and I know she's hurting, and everyone associated with Grayson Murray is hurting.
Again, his parents writing a letter that was read by Jim Nance on CBS on the PGA Tour broadcast on Sunday. The commissioner, Jay Monahan, flew to Fort Worth so he could be there. They have counselors available, grief counselors available for the rest of the PGA Tour family. But there may be no answers, right? As hard as this is, and the tendency to ask why and when and how, we only know that he withdrew from the tournament Friday after the 16th hole. He had birdied a third straight. He told the PGA Tour that he wasn't feeling well. They put him down as a withdrawal because of illness. And he, not that he would have shown up at the golf course the next day, but he at some point over the course of those next 12 hours decided that there was no hope, that he couldn't go on, which blows my mind. But again, if it can be a battle he is facing, regardless of what it looks like on the outside, then of course, many of us outside the world of professional sports can be in that same exact space. died by suicide on Saturday morning. But his family wanted the golf tournament to go on, wanted his story to be told. The reason that his parents picked red and black pins on their caps to honor Grayson is because those are the colors of the Carolina Hurricanes, his favorite hockey team. Thinking of him, I'm sure we'll hear more from the golfers as we move forward into the next couple of weeks. They're going to remember him. I would imagine there'll be some type of, whether it's a tribute, whether it's a way that they can honor him through the rest of the season. But isn't that what you would want? I think that's what I would want as a family member, that he's not forgotten. As tragic as the circumstances of his death, in many ways his life was a triumph. He'd been sober, as he said, in January for 8 months, and he was moving forward. He was playing well. He had a personal life. So something went horribly wrong and convinced him that there was no other option. And so I know if I were a family member, I'd want to make sure he was remembered. Just don't forget him. Don't make his death one that is a blip and we never talk about him again. Instead, if we remember him and tell his story, then maybe other lives are saved. And that I appreciate so much. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. As we mark this Memorial Day weekend, we will be here again on Monday night into Tuesday morning. And the post is up on our social. If you have a photo, name, memory of a loved one, family, or friend who paid that ultimate price in sacrificing while in service to our country, any branch of the military, we're happy to honor them with you. So we'll share the photos. And I'm reading all the stories. I always do. We do this every Memorial Day. And sometimes we've been inundated with names and photos. Other times it's been fewer. But it doesn't matter to me. Even if it's even one or two people that know we care and that understand the impact of this day, well, then I'm good with that. Thanks so much for joining us. If you're listening now on your Monday morning, maybe you're traveling, maybe you're headed out to see people, or maybe it's just to get back home. I know the roads and the airports were full of people, gobs of people over the weekend since I was traveling myself. We're good. We're glad to hear.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
With you. Good to keep you company. Glad to hear from you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mm-hmm. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The face of evil and will not lose hope or faith. America, the land of freedom, is still the home of the brave. So raise the banner.
Randy Travis, I love this song. We're honoring those who made the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country, all the different military branches. I know many of you have your own stories, so if you want to send photos, names to us on social media, at Amy After Hours is our show account, and then also on our Facebook page. And our phone number, we heard from a few of you earlier, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network, has the same phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Now part of, whoops, now see, there I did it again. We're going to have a man write to us and say, why did you use the letter CBS when it's not CBS anymore? I don't understand what happened. After nearly 12 years, old habits die hard. So forget the 4CBS, although it is still 4CBS, but we're
not wrong.
Right? It's true. We're just not supposed to say it that way. Sorry.
Like if you dial that, you'll get it.
Right. If you can't remember the numbers, still fall back on the old three letters that should never be uttered in succession again here on the network. My gosh. Coming up, I'm not sure who had a worse day. Rookie Derek Lively of the Dallas Mavericks or the lady who got trapped underneath the tarp during the rain delay at Cincinnati. Oh my gosh, she came out. I'm not sure if you could see the video, if there's either a photo or a video of her on social, Jay, but you can retweet it from our show account. Poor girl. First of all, she was trapped. And there's like a hump right in the middle, right? So you know when, how about this? You lose a sock underneath your sheets, or in my case, I have a little stuffed dog that looks just like Penny. And sometimes, you know, I sleep with the dog. And so sometimes in the middle of the day when I'm sleeping, I lose the dog. So I go to make the bed and I'm like, oh, there she is right in the middle, right? It's like a little bump underneath my sheets.
I'm watching the video.
Isn't that what it looks like? She's under there. They're trying to talk to her and get her out, but it's
how
like the sheets. I know. It's scary. Could you imagine?
Honestly.
If you're claustrophobic, that is scary.
She is stuck in the middle of that thing.
She is. It's the dead middle. And there's just like a bump where her body is. And so she had fallen down and the rest of the tarp crew just kept running. They didn't realize that she had fallen down. And it's happened before. But the problem is there's got to be some panic in there. And she can't find her way out. She has no idea. It's a little bit like being under the water and being disoriented. You can't find your way out. Anyway, when she finally emerged and they finally got to her, and I appreciate that the members of the crew were talking to her, were like guiding her out. When they finally get her out, her hair's like all disheveled, poor thing. Thank goodness she was smiling, but yeah. It was wet under there, too.
That's honestly kind of scary. She was really stuck in there.
She was.
It's a heavy tarp, right? Especially with the rain
on it. And they're, like, holding it down so you can't get out.
Get me out. She's screaming in there. What is she saying?
I don't know. Could you imagine?
Guys.
Yeah, help me! I'm falling and I can't get up.
Something like that.
Anyway, so I'm not sure if she had a worse day or Derek Lively did. We'll give you the options coming up. But, yeah, check out our show Twitter if you want to see that, at Amy After Hours. The big Sunday sporting event, Indy 500 Memorial Day weekend, unfortunately was a 4-hour delayed start because of weather. Now, for those of you who live in the Midwest or the Southwest or along the Gulf Coast, the weather has been a major issue the last few weeks, and we're just barely starting hurricane season. So we're not even really into the end stages of severe weather in the springtime. There's still a lot more potential for it. I lived in Oklahoma for 4 years, and as part of my job as a news and sports director, I chased tornadoes and then would follow along after some of the damage just to do reporting about it on the air. This is, by the way, coming from me as a New Hampshire native. I had to learn on the fly, but it's scary. The tornadoes can develop so quickly. They can drop down and they can be so devastating in a heartbeat. And I just personally am so grateful that my husband's family was spared and was safe after two tornadoes touched down in the Temple, Texas area last Wednesday, and one of them right near their neighborhood. They now know it wasn't initially reported, but the damage is clear. 120 mile per hour straight line winds. And so when I flew to Texas on Friday night, his mom's house still had no power. And of course, you can imagine the heat, the humidity. So we went through the weekend with no power, got ready for this wedding, no power. It was so still and hot and humid in their house. Sleeping was not even possible. We had a fan, but at some point it really doesn't do a whole lot. So Bob and I and his mom were a little bit miserable. She refused to go over to one of the other family members' homes who did get power back, but want to hear the kicker? We were getting ready to leave. So we celebrate the wedding. Nobody wanted to leave the reception because at least there was AC there. So we celebrate the wedding. We go back. We grab a couple hours of sleep. Bob and I had to get up at 4 a.m. Texas time to get to the airport in Austin so we could fly back to New Jersey. And the air conditioner came on, and that's, I heard it and realized that the power had been restored. There were electric crews, emergency crews that were out in the neighborhood. But it came on at 3 o'clock in the morning. We had to get up an hour later and leave. So they had been without power all of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and parts of Wednesday night as well. So about 3.5 days without power. But thankfully his mom had power when we left. And so it was nice for her to be able to turn the lights on, turn the AC on. It was upwards of mid 80s in the house and just the humidity. Oh man.
No.
It was brutal. It was brutal. It reminded me of some of my travels overseas where, you don't always have air condition. Anyway, so I all that to say that it was a devastating tornado and a weather pattern that left a lot of people without power. 60,000 plus when it initially happened. Businesses and homes leveled in her neighborhood. Now, thankfully, they just had one tree that fell out. Let's see, it was out of their side yard and into the street. But the neighbor across the street had two enormous trees that took out parts of the house, a fence, and then another half a tree in a large limb that fell on their roof and was still sitting there, taking out power lines, of course, with it. And so it was all kinds of devastation. And that's just one example. I know there were places in Iowa and other parts of the Midwest where tornadoes were spawned on Sunday and dozens of people have died. So we're talking about really scary, severe weather patterns. Please be safe if you're in that area. So I know on this Memorial Day weekend, for a lot of people, they're without power. There's still hundreds of thousands of people without power in the U.S. In the wake of this last few weeks of storms. Not just that, it's hard to even think about marking the unofficial start to summer when it's that bad and it's that tough. So I'm thinking of so many people over the weekend. The weather in Indianapolis delayed the start of the Indy 500 by 4 hours, which meant that Kyle Larson, who was an Indy 500 rookie, so he had trained for Indy, he had been doing the testing at both the NASCAR tracks as well as Indy, and he wanted to do the historic double-double. He was trying to become the fifth race car driver in history to ever complete the Indy 500 and then fly to Charlotte for the Coca-Cola 600, which is the longest NASCAR race. And they're generally held on the same day, sometimes not because of weather or whatever, but 1,100 miles, historic. Well, unfortunately, because of the rain delay at Indy, he had to make a choice. He had to either stay and run the 500 at Indy, or he had to leave Indy and get to Charlotte for the start of the NASCAR race. Well, he chose to stay. And thankfully, NASCAR has a rule where if you have a replacement driver in your vehicle, certain number of laps run by that replacement driver, you can still end up getting credit for that race. And then it has to do with playoffs and whether or not you're eligible to compete for the championship. It's convoluted. But Kyle Larson chose to stay. He did have a couple of rookie mistakes, one on a restart, another one on a pit stop. And so he was still trying to figure out Indy. It's very different from NASCAR. But he did say that he felt like he made the right choice and that he's not sorry that he remained there at the Brickyard.
I would definitely love to be back next year. I feel like I learned a lot throughout the race. I made a couple mistakes early there with the restart. not sure what I did wrong there, but I somehow got myself into third, and then felt like I did a really good job on the restarts and was able to learn a lot, and definitely, you know, feel good about knowing what I would need different for the balance, I think, coming back to help runs and stuff. And then, yeah, obviously I smoked a left front or something into the green flag stop and killed our opportunity. So, you know, proud to finish, but pretty upset at myself.
So he started fifth. He finished 18th. And as you hear him talking about, he's not even sure exactly what he did wrong, but would like to have the chance to do it again and improve. So then, after staying for the 500, realizing that he was not going to get to Charlotte in time for the start of the Coca-Cola 600, he takes a car to the airport, two helicopter rides, and an hour-long flight. His plane arrives in Charlotte around 9:15 local time, just as the rain has arrived in Charlotte. So they complete 151, oh no, I'm sorry, they had 151 laps left. Justin Allgaier, who had really no time to test with the car because Larson was expected to be there, he had jumped behind the wheel. He'd done pretty well. But as the rules go, with this rain delay, Larson was able to then get into the car himself. I've actually seen guys do it where it's a replacement driver. They do a pit stop. The replacement driver gets out. The actual driver gets in and they go. So this was a luxury to be able to do it during a rain delay. Unfortunately, the race was called after 2 hours of him waiting there. The race gets called and they decided not to finish the laps that were left. Instead, Christopher Bell was awarded the victory. So unfortunately for him, he never was able to drive a lap. So you kind of wonder, if not for the weather, what if? But he did do the Indy 500 and then made it to Charlotte, just was unable to run there because of the rain. I hope that he tries again because he is a talented enough driver that he could do it. And I can imagine, given the fact that he finished 18th and didn't quite meet his expectations, he'd like the chance to make up and make amends for his mistakes at Indy. It's the experience, right? And it's so different from NASCAR, not to mention the number of miles and the travel in between, but the two cars handle so differently. The two models are nothing alike. I remember watching Indy when I grew up, and they're not allowed to, well, if the cars touch, generally there's a huge wreck. There's some type of major damage. It's not like NASCAR where there's rubbing is racing as your main cliche about it. And there's bump drafting and there's all kinds of contact in between these cars. And drivers have to learn how to handle that. But it's so different from Indy where, gosh, you can have cars take off, take flight. They're so light. The wrecks are so spectacular and scary. Yeah, just the cars are so different. And so good for him for trying it. And I hope we'll get a chance to do it in 2025. All right, coming up, we got a couple more of your calls. 855-212-4227 on Twitter at Amy After Hours. Also on our Facebook page, we still have more basketball to get to. The Celtics will try to sweep the Pacers on Memorial Day, just as the Mavericks put the Timberwolves on the brink. The Rangers, well, they're the comeback kids. Although I suppose in game number three, they were the ones that gave up a lead only to win in overtime for the second straight game. Jay has a funny story about how he and his family were watching that in a car stuck in traffic. But mostly we would love to hear from you on this Memorial Day Monday early morning if you're with us on Monday. Yes, thank you so much for joining us. If you're getting an early start on your Memorial Day plans or you're actually traveling home, it's a time when you can hear us or maybe you don't generally.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
White through the logo. We're at 111 to 106. Derek White for Tatum. He turns the corner on Nesmith. Gets in deep. Goes behind the back to find an open Al Horford in the corner for three. What a pass by Jason Tatum. It's a two-point game. Holiday attacks the paint. Rises. Scoops. Scores. And the foul. And with 38.9 to go, Drew Holiday will calmly walk to the free throw line with a chance. Wait for it. to give Boston the lead. Horford sets the screen. Tatum turns the corner. He's inside the free throw line. He elevates. He scoops. It's no good. Rebound Nimhart. 8 seconds to go. Indiana not calling timeout. Nimhart racing into the front court. Holiday knocks the ball away with his left hand. Goes into the front court and gets fouled by Siakam. Nimhart triggers it in. Nesmith falls away from the corner. Three rims out. And the Celtics have done it. They come from 18 down. And with the game on the line, Drew Holiday showed who he was.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, what a 1-2 punch. Not named Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, though they were very much involved in this comeback from nearly 20 points down in Game 3 in the field house in Indianapolis. Sean Grandy on the Celtics radio network. Yeah, Al Horford with a career night shooting from beyond the arc. 7 of 12 from deep, 23 points for him. But it was Drew Holiday with a traditional three-point play late in this one. Just taking charge, being aggressive, looking for his shot, finding seams. 14 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals for the former NBA champion.
It was definitely a team effort. I think from being down 18, we knew that we can lock in defensively and be better. And it showed.
Felt like we had opportunities early in the fourth to kind of take over. We had really good looks end of the third, and we just couldn't get it done. And I give this group a lot of credit for continuing to stay with it.
Al Horford and Drew Holiday before that. And we know Jason Tatum has always said this, Jaylen Brown too, that they've learned from the past and some of the ways they failed to close out series and achieve their goals. They're obviously steady. They just have a lot of experience that carries them through these moments where they're down and have to find a way to come back.
We believe. We believe that we still could win this game. There was a lot of time left. You know, it's damn sure not time to give up.
I'm not sure if you saw the Jason Tatum behind the back pass to Al Horford. And this was about midway through the fourth quarter. Jason's at the top of the key. He just goes behind his back to the left where Horford is waiting for it. And Horford's able to drain one of the threes. And so it was a moment that kind of lit the internet on fire.
Yes.
Jason did have 36, but a lot of people just wanted to ask about that behind the back dime.
DHO, I attacked downhill, had Topping with me, and Miles Turner. I knew Miles was guarding Al. And, you know, just reads. We always talk about spacing, making sure we're in the right spots. And, you know, I trusted that he was going to be there.
He was definitely there. And Jason's right. He drew the defense. So he had not just his defender, but Al's, who went with him to the top of the key. And then Al was wide open. Al picked. It's not a pick and roll because roll would mean he was going toward the hoop. Instead, it was what they call a pick and pop. So he just kind of pops out to the left elbow. Well, not the left elbow, the left wing. And he's able to then get wide open for that triple. And I've said this before. I love Al Horford. I think he is the epitome of why old dudes in sports, they completely rock. He's tenacious. He's a leader by example. He'll do anything to win. At 38 years old, the man is still out there defending to the hilt. But there are times when he shoots threes and I just want to cover my eyes. My eyes, my eyes. It's awful and I just want him to stop. But he also can get hot too. So his all-or-nothing approach to shooting threes is very well documented, but this was one game in Game 3 where they needed all 7 of his triples, and now they're, of course, on the path to sweep, though they'll have to do Game 4 there in Indiana. And Rick Carlisle says don't expect the Pacers to lay down.
We're going to be undeterred. We're going to be back here Monday night looking to extend the series, and we're going to come at them even harder. You know, we have to. We have to. We don't have a choice.
Definitely a tough one. Especially, you know, we had a lot of energy. The guys came out, you know, defending well, running well. And we just didn't have in that fourth quarter, you know, we didn't have enough.
And that's the hard part, right? Because the Pacers did everything they could to build the lead. And remember, in the opener in Boston, they had, what was it, a three-point lead with 10 seconds to go and the ball, and they lost it. So here they are in two situations where if they had closed out, they very well could be up 2-1 instead of trailing 0-3 against Boston. I suppose those what-ifs, well, they can make a man frustrated and a little bit snippy.
Rick, you were up 8 with about 2.5 minutes to go in this game.
What I just watched the ending, so you don't need to remind me. I saw everything that happened. Everything.
What to you was the difference in that? Everything?
Everything that happened, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. My favorite part is where the reporter echoes everything. Oh, almost.
So
like,
you don't need to remind me. I saw everything that happened. Everything.
What to you was the difference in that?
Everything. Wait, you cut him off. That was where the reporter. The first everything was Rick Carlisle.
What to you was the difference in that? Everything.
Everything that happened, yeah.
He just echoes the everything. Oh my gosh. It's the good stuff.
Everything.
People get so salty this time of the year. Losing is not fun, especially when right now we've got two conference finals on the verge of potentially being sweeps.
What a bad press room, by the way.
Joe is in Nova Scotia. Joe, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Just wanted to give a props out, first of all, to all the people in the Midwest that are going through what they're going through. That's, oh my God, I can't even believe it. I mean, anyway. I also wanted to say props to Dallas to having, I mean, they've got two teams in the semifinals, and I would hope that that city has a whole lot of pride. I can imagine they do, which is awesome. I'm not rooting for them, but that's a real good position to be in for a city.
Yes, so, it absolutely is.
Yeah. Wanted to talk about Memorial Day. I've got a family, like I live in Nova Scotia now, but my old man was from Newfoundland, and there was 18 kids in their family. 16 boys.
Wow.
And two girls, Flo and Teresa, Florence. And, most of them served, and one of my grandmother's brother, so she wasn't like he wasn't in the family, but he's got the Africa cross, the Italy cross, he's got the German cross. He's one of the most decorated he's actually the most decorated Newfoundlander in Newfoundland. But
wow, amazing. You just have about 15 seconds before the computer cuts you off, but I appreciate you sharing this. I can imagine that family legacy makes you proud.
Yeah, no, we serve.
Thank you, Joe.
We keep doing it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you so much for calling from Nova Scotia. Happy to take more of your calls or your posts on social at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. You can hear us, or maybe you don't generally.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Derek White through the logo. We're 111-106. Derek White for Tatum. He turns the corner on Nesmith. Gets in deep. Goes behind the back to find an open Al Horford in the corner for three. What a pass by Jason Tatum. It's a two-point game. Holiday attacks the paint. Rises. Scoops. Scores. And the foul. And with 38.9 to go, Drew Holiday will calmly walk to the free throw line with a chance. Wait for it. To give Boston the lead. Horford sets the screen. Tatum turns the corner. He's inside the free throw line. He elevates. He scoops. It's no good. Rebound Nimhart. 8 seconds to go. Indiana not calling timeout. Nimhart racing into the front court. Holiday knocks the ball away with his left hand. Goes into the front court and gets fouled by Siakam. Nimhart triggers it in. Nesmith falls away from the corner. Three rims out. And the Celtics have done it. They come from 18 down. And with the game on the line, Drew Holiday showed who he was.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, what a 1-2 punch. Not named Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, though they were very much involved in this comeback from nearly 20 points down in Game 3 in the Field House in Indianapolis. Sean Grandy on the Celtics radio network. Yeah, Al Horford with a career night shooting from beyond the arc. 7 of 12 from deep, 23 points for him. But it was Jrue Holiday with a traditional three-point play late in this one. Just taking charge, being aggressive, looking for his shot, finding seams. 14 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals for the former NBA champion.
It was definitely a team effort. I think from being down 18, we knew that we can lock in defensively and be better. And it showed.
Felt like we had opportunities early in the fourth to kind of take over. We had really good looks, end of the third, and we just couldn't get it done. And I give this group a lot of credit for continuing to stay with it.
Al Horford and Jrue Holiday before that. And we know Jason Tatum has always said this, Jaylen Brown too, that they've learned from the past and some of the ways they failed to close out series and achieve their goals. They're obviously steady. They just have a lot of experience that carries them through these moments where they're down and have to find a way to come back.
We believe. We believe that we still could win this game. There was a lot of time left. You know, it's damn sure not time to give up.
I'm not sure if you saw the Jason Tatum behind the back pass to Al Horford. And this was about midway through the fourth quarter. Jason's at the top of the key. He just goes behind his back to the left where Horford is waiting for it. And Horford's able to drain one of the threes. And so it was a moment that kind of lit the internet on fire.
Yes.
Jason did have 36, but a lot of people just wanted to ask about that behind the back dime.
DHO, I attacked downhill, had Topping with me, and Miles Turner. I knew Miles was guarding Al. And, you know, just reads. We always talk about spacing, making sure we're in the right spots. And, you know, I trusted that he was going to be there.
He was definitely there. And Jason's right. He drew the defense. So he had not just his defender, but Al's, who went with him to the top of the key. And then Al was wide open. Al picked. It's not a pick and roll, because roll would mean he was going toward the hoop. Instead, it was what they call a pick and pop. So he just kind of pops out to the left elbow. Well, not the left elbow, the left wing. And he's able to then get wide open for that triple. And I've said this before. I love Al Horford. I think he is the epitome of why old dudes in sports, they completely rock. He's tenacious. He's a leader by example. He'll do anything to win. At 38 years old, the man is still out there defending to the hilt. But there are times when he shoots threes and I just want to cover my eyes. My eyes. It's awful and I just want him to stop. But he also can get hot too. So his all or nothing approach to shooting threes is very well documented, but this was one game in game 3 where they needed all 7 of his triples. And now they're, of course, on the path to sweep, though they'll have to do game 4 there in Indiana. And Rick Carlisle says, don't expect the Pacers to lay down.
We're going to be undeterred. We're going to be back here Monday night looking to extend the series. And we're going to come at them even harder. You know, we have to. We don't have a choice.
Definitely a tough one, especially, you know, we had a lot of energy. The guys came out, you know, defending well, running well, and we just didn't have in that fourth quarter, you know, we didn't have enough.
And that's the hard part, right? Because the Pacers did everything they could to build the lead. And remember, in the opener in Boston, they had, what was it, a 3-point lead with 10 seconds to go and the ball, and they lost it. So here they are in two situations where if they had closed out, they very well could be up 2-1 instead of trailing 0-3 against Boston. I suppose those what-ifs, well, they can make a man frustrated and a little bit snippy.
Rick, you were up 8 with about 2.5 minutes to go in this game.
I just watched the ending, so you don't need to remind me. I saw everything that happened. Everything.
What to you was the difference
everything.
In that? Everything?
Everything that happened, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. My favorite part is where the reporter echoes everything. Oh, almost.
So
like,
you don't need to remind me. I saw everything that happened. Everything.
What to you was the difference in that?
Everything.
Wait, you cut him off. That was where the reporter. The first everything was Rick Carlisle.
What to you was the difference
everything.
In that? Everything.
Everything that happened. Yeah.
He just echoes the everything, everything, everything. Oh my gosh. It's the good stuff.
Everything.
People get so salty this time of the year. Losing is not fun, especially when right now we've got two conference finals on the verge of potentially being sweeps.
What a bad press room, by the way.
Joe is in Nova Scotia. Joe, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Just wanted to give a props out, first of all, to all the people in the Midwest that are going through what they're going through. That's, oh my God, I can't even believe it. I mean, anyway. I also wanted to say props to Dallas to having, I mean, they've got two teams mm-hmm. in the semifinals,
yep.
and I would hope that city has a whole lot of pride. I can imagine they do, which is awesome. I'm not rooting for them, but that's a real good position to be in for a city.
Yes, so, it absolutely is.
Yeah. Wanted to talk about Memorial Day. I've got a family, like I live in Nova Scotia now, but my old man was from Newfoundland, and there was 18 kids in their family. 16 boys.
Wow.
And two girls, Flo and Teresa, Florence. And, yeah, most of them served.
Mm.
And one of my grandmother's brother, so she wasn't, like, he wasn't in the family, but he's got the Africa cross, the Italy cross, he's got the German cross.
Mm.
He's one of the most decorated, he's actually the most decorated Newfoundlander in Newfoundland, but
wow, amazing. You just have about 15 seconds before the computer cuts you off, but I appreciate you sharing this. I can imagine that family legacy makes you proud.
Yeah, no, we serve.
Thank you,
and
Joe.
We keep doing it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you so much for calling from Nova Scotia. Happy to take more of your calls or your posts on social at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.